Which are not part of the conclusion that we have to arrive at. And in Sanskrit, this method of elimination of unnecessary factors in a sentence and taking of the essentials only is called Jahad Ajaha Lakshana. Lakshana is a definition of a sentence or a proposition that is made. Where the literal connotation is abandoned for the spirit of the sentence, the Jahad Ajaha Lakshana is employed. The literal meaning is abandoned and that is called Jahad. Jahad means abandoned. Ajahat means not abandoned, taking. This is the spirit of the statement made and not the, only the letter. The general illustration in Vedanta philosophy is, suppose there is a person called Devadatta and he has a friend called Yajnadatta. This Devadatta is living in Bombay and Yajnadatta saw him in Bombay. After some years, Yajnadatta sees Devadatta in another place. The place has changed, the time also has changed. Firstly, instead of being in Bombay, he is now seen in Rishikesh. And instead of having seen him 10 years back, you see him now after some 10 years. When Yajnadatta sees Devadatta in an audience, he makes an exclamation, "This is that Devadatta whom I saw in Bombay 10 years back." Now, two places cannot be identical and two times also cannot be identical. Bombay is not Rishikesh and 10 years back is not 10 years after 10 years now. The identity of the person is what is connotated here. The aspect of space and time are abandoned. The distance of space between Bombay and Rishikesh is ignored. And the distance of duration also of 10 years gap is abandoned. And these epithets that are used in the sentence, this is the same Devadatta whom I saw 10 years back. 10 years back is unnecessary to define a person. And this and that also are unnecessary epithets. It is identical person that is before you, whether he was there in some other place or whether he is here. And whether he was at that time or whether he is this time. In a similar manner, the doctrine says that we have to eliminate certain unnecessary descriptive factors associated with God as creator and the individual as the isolated part. How can an isolated part become one with the universal being? It will be possible only in the same sense as a person seen in some other place is the same as the person seen in this place, if only you eliminate unnecessary factors. Now, what are these factors that condition God and make us feel that is totally different from the individual? These factors are described here in the verses following. ಈಶ್ವರ ಈಸ್ ದ ನೇಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟಿವ್ ಪ್ರಿನ್ಸಿಪಲ್. ಗಾಡ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ದ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೂಮೆಂಟಲ್ ಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಬಟ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಕಾಸ್. ಯು ಮಸ್ಟ್ ನೋ ದ ಡಿಫರೆನ್ಸ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ಎ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೂಮೆಂಟಲ್ ಕಾಸ್, ಎಫಿಷಿಯಂಟ್ ಕಾಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಕಾಲ್ ಇಟ್, ಆರ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಕಾಸ್. ದ ಕಾರ್ಪೆಂಟರ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೂಮೆಂಟಲ್ ಕಾಸ್ ಆರ್ ದ ಎಫಿಷಿಯಂಟ್ ಕಾಸ್ ಆರ್ ದ ಫರ್ನಿಚರ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹಿ ಕಾಸಸ್ ದ ಫರ್ನಿಚರ್ ಟು ಮ್ಯಾನಿಫೆಸ್ಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಎಫರ್ಟ್. ಇನ್ ಎ ಸಿಮಿಲರ್ ಮ್ಯಾನರ್ ಗಾಡ್ causes the world to manifest by the force of his will, as the carpenter by the force of his will creates a shape or a structure of a furniture. But there is a difference between carpenter and God in this sense, that the wood that is the material of the furniture does not come from the body of the carpenter. He is not the material cause of the product, namely the furniture. He is only the efficient cause and not the material cause. Here, in the case of a carpenter and the table, etc., the material comes from somewhere else, outside the location or the personality of the carpenter. But in the case of God, there is no external material. There is no furniture, wood, steel, brick and cement, etc., that God can have outside himself. He cannot have an exterior or totally outside material for the creation of the world. He is also the substance out of which the world is made. As we had when we studied the Mundaka Upanishad, the illustration of a spider spinning its web. The web is made out of the very substance that comes out of its own being. So God is not only the instrumental cause, He is also the material cause. He becomes the material of the universe when He associates Himself as consciousness with the tamasic aspect of Prakriti, which becomes the five tanmatra, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, and by the process of multiplication becomes the five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether. So God is the creator of the material of the universe in the form of the five tanmatras and the five gross elements, by associating himself with tamasi prakriti. But associating himself with the sattvic prakriti, which is sattva guna manifest in a universal way, he becomes the instrumental cause. That is, the intelligence of Brahman is reflected through the universal sattva of prakriti, and that universally manifest intelligence is the causative factor, instrumental cause or efficient cause, intelligent cause of the universe. But the material is the very same Brahman associating itself with the kamasi prakriti. This is the meaning of this particular verse. Jagato yadupadanam mayamadaya tamasim nimittam sutadatvamta bhuchate brahmadavira upadanam tamasi mayamadaya. He becomes upadana or material cause by associating himself with the tamasi prakriti. But he becomes nimitta or instrumental cause by associating with shuddha tattva pradhana prakriti. So the manner of the reflection of Brahman in the properties of prakriti, sattva and tamas differently, becomes the cause of God himself appearing as the instrumental cause and the material cause together. So God is called Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karana. Abhinna means non-differentiated. Nimitta is instrumental. Upadana is material, karana is cause. So he is undifferentiated material and instrumental cause of the universe. Abhinna nimitta upadana karana in Ishvara. This is how God appears as the creative principle of the cosmos. But he may appear as individual also by associating himself with another thing. Yada malina sattvam tam kamakarmadi dushitam adatte tatparam brahmatvam padena tadochati. Here is the description of the statement of the Upanishad, tatvamasi. Tat is that Brahman itself appearing as Ishvara, creating the universe both as an instrumental cause and a material cause. The word Tat in that statement of the Upanishad refers to Brahman appearing as Ishvara, causing the universe as instrument as well as material. Now, Tvam means you, which is the individual. The individual is constituted of the very same Brahman consciousness reflected through Malina Sattva. Shuddha Sattva is pure universal Sattva. Because of the purity of that Sattva in original cosmic Prakriti, it is universal and it is not limited to any particular place. So the reflection of Brahman is through that is also universal. So Brahman manifests in that way, becoming Ishvara, is omniscient, knows all things. But here, in the case of the individual, the Sattvaguna is contaminated by the overpowering influence of Rajas and Tamas. We individuals are more Rajasic and Tamasic than Sattvic. And therefore, the universal character of Sattva does not manifest in us. The Rajasic, discriminative, segregating, individualizing character of Rajas only manifests. So we always feel that we are separate persons and not having any connection with the universality of existence. There is no connection between you and me or anything whatsoever. That apparent dissociation and disconnectedness of one thing from another, one person from another person, etc., is a very faulty consciousness that has entered into us on account of Brahman consciousness working through Rajas. It is like sunlight, which is indivisible whole, manifesting itself in split parts of water, so that it looks like little, little pieces. Such is the case with this reflection of Brahman in distracted Rajoguna Prakriti, which conditions the individual Jiva, and so we do not feel that we are universal. We feel we are particulars only. Brahman knows that he is universal because he reflects himself in cosmic universal Sattva. Whereas he feels that an individual, because he now reflects himself to Rajas, which is distracting, separating one thing from the other. And this Rajas and Tamas in the Jiva is infected with desire and impulse for action, etc. Avidya, which is the obliteration of the universality of consciousness, causing distraction and individuality consciousness, is also the cause of desire and action. So you can imagine what are the troubles befalling us. Avidya, kama and karma are the terms used to indicate our present predicament. Namely, firstly, avidya, the total ignorance of the universality of our nature. Secondly, kama, desire for things external. And karma, intense effort that we put forth to fulfill our desire in the direction of object. This is the fate of individual jivas, yet we are vitalized by Brahman consciousness only, unfortunately through Rajas and Tamas and not through Sattva. Adatte tatparam brahmat pampadena tadochyate. This kind of individuality is the second manifestation of Brahman as any one of us. Now what has to be done? Tritaim apitam muktva paraspara virodhini akandam satchidanandam mahavakyam lakshyate. three kinds of factors are mentioned here. One is God becomes the material cause of the universe by association with five tanmatras and five gross elements. That is the first statement. The other one is he becomes the instrumental cause by associating himself with sattva, that is cosmic in nature. He becomes the individual also by associating himself with the rajas and tamas properties. Now, you ignore these association factors. Don't consider this tama pradana, visuddha sattva pradana, or malaya sattva pradana prakriti. Don't consider the reflection aspect at all. Take Brahman as unreflected, not reflected in these three ways as mentioned. Tripari mapitam muktva, all the three factors may be abandoned for the sake of the direct knowledge of what Brahman is by itself. Paraspara virodhi, because tamas and rajas and sattva cannot have any association one with the other. They are totally different. The function of the one is different from the function of the other. And therefore, the self-contradictory factors of prakriti, namely sattva, rajas, tamas, should be abandoned while we are considering the nature of Brahman supreme. And when we eliminate the association aspect of Brahman in terms of sattva, rajas, tamas, we will find Brahman is akhanda, ekarasa, sachidananda. It is undivided. Therefore, it is called akhanda, not khanda. Khanda means divided. Khanda is undivided. Satchidananda, pure existence, consciousness, bliss in Brahman. This is what is taught to us by the great statement, Tattvamasi. Thou art that. Thou art that means, this individual which has taken the shape of a particular location in some place due to the rajas aspect of prakriti preponderating, he is the same as that cosmic Brahman manifest through, reflected through sattva guna prakriti and tamah guna prakriti. If you dissociate rajas from individual and free Brahman's reflection from sattva and tamas, you will find the essence of the jiva is identical with the essence of the Supreme Absolute. If you break the pot, the space inside the pot merges into the universal ether. Otherwise, the space looks very little. In a little tumbler, there is a small space inside. And this is something like the jiva or the individual. And there is a wider space there. Now, do you say that the individual space inside the pot is the same as the universal space or different? We can say it is different because that is so wide and this is so small. This smallness is an appearance caused by the pot. You break the pot and you will find there is the same Brahman, the universal space appearing as this little pot space. So our consciousness, which is the Atman, is like a pot space. We seem to be small individuals because our consciousness is tied up within the walls of this body. As space may look very little when it is inside the pot, you remove this association through physical, vital, mental, intellectual and causal pots. These are the fivefold pots into which you have cast as if on a mold the consciousness of Brahman. And yesterday we realized how it is possible for us to dissociate this consciousness from three states, from five shiva koshas, and ascertain the true indivisibility of our essential self. So, Thvam, which is individuality, Thou, is the same basic consciousness appearing to be limited in one place on account of the action of segregating rajas, from which you have to dissociate consciousness carefully as we tried to do yesterday. And then you will find it is the same as the universal Brahman. So, avoid association with sattva, rajas, tamas. You will find you are identical with the cosmic existence. Tritai mapitam moktva paraspara virodhini akhandam satchidanandam mahavakye lakshati. சோயமித்யாதி வாக்கியேஷு விதால் விரோதா தந்தந்தையோ யாகேன பாகையோரே ஆசிரியோ லட்சதே யதா. சோயம் மீன்ஸ் ஸ்வயம் தேவதத்தா, சஹா தேவதத்தா, அயமேவ தேவதத்தா, which means that Devadatta of Bombay is this Devadatta in Rishikesh. You avoided the association of Bombay and Rishikesh and identified the person as one single individual. In a similar manner, the identity of Brahman and individuality of the Jiva should be affirmed by the dissociation of factors which are secondary and not essential. Maya vigye vihaya evam upati parajivayoho அகண்டம் சச்சிதானந்தம் பரம் பிரம்மைவ லட்சதி. சோ ஆஸ் மென்ஷன், பை டிசோசியேட்டிங் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் ஃப்ரம் இட்ஸ் அப்பேரண்ட் கனெக்ஷன் வித் மாயா இன் த காஸ்மிக் சென்ஸ் அண்ட் அவித்யா இன் த இண்டிவிஜுவல் சென்ஸ், யூ வில் ஃபீல் தட் ஃப்ரீட் ஃப்ரம் தீஸ் எஜன்ட்ஸ் ஆர் உபாதீஸ் ஆஃப் காஸ்மிகாலிட்டி அண்ட் இண்டிவிஜுவாலிட்டி, what remains would be indivisible Satchidananda Parabrahma only. Free the consciousness from the association of definition as omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence, etc. These definitions have meaning only so long as there is space and time and externality. Due to space, time and objectivity visible to our eyes, we associate Brahman with such factors as omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence, etc. God by himself is more than omnipotence, more than omniscience and omnipresence also. He is also not particular individual. So the particularity of the individuality of a person and the universality of omnipresence, etc. of God are only factors arisen on account of perception through space and time. If these screens of space, time and objectivity are lifted, the individual merges into Brahman in one instant. Savikalpasya lakshatve lakshasya syad avastuta nirvikalpasya lakshatvam nadrattvam nadisambhavi. The Supreme Brahman, this is a kind of logical cliche that the author introduces here by saying that Brahman is either savikalpa or nirvikalpa. Savikalpa is associated with name and form, conceivable through the mind. And if you say that Brahman is associated with namarupa, that is name and form, you will also be associating Brahman in space and time. In that case, this lakshya or the supreme target of your concentration will become a finite individual. Brahman also will become a personality like ourselves, maybe a large personality, yet nevertheless personality only, because we have limited this concept of Brahman to perceptibility, cognizability in terms of finitude created by space, time and objectivity. Therefore, Brahman should not be considered as cognizable through the mind and not definable also in terms of name and form, else he will become non-existent, avastu, a non-entity, because he will become a finite like any other finite individual. But nirvikalpa silat shattam nadrattam nadisambhavi, then can we say that he has no qualities at all? Because we cannot conceive of anything that has no attributes at all. All things that we can conceive in the mind have some character. So he is raising a quandary here that we cannot conceive Brahman either as with attributes or without attributes. If it is with attributes, it becomes finite. If it is without attributes, it becomes inconceivable. So here is the difficulty in conceiving Brahman through human intellect or understanding. Vikalpo nirvikalpasya savikalpasya va bhavet. Concept is possible either of the finite or the infinite. Now infinite cannot be conceived. And if you start conceiving the finite one, you will enter into some peculiar logical quandaries in argument. That is, a finite thing is that which is associated with certain conceptual categories. That is to say, there cannot be a finite object or anything that is finite unless it has already been cast into the mold of conceptual categories. Now, to conceive a finite object which is already cast into the mold of a conceptualization would be to argue in a regressus ad infinitum, as they call it, and many other logical fallacies will follow, such as circular reasoning called chakraka, or anavastha dosha, or regressus ad infinitum, or atmashraya, or petitio principii. It is called begging the question. You will start assuming something which is yet to be proved, and so on and so forth are the difficulties that will arise if you start conceiving a thing that is already conceived to be finite. So God cannot be conceived as finite, nor is it possible to conceive the infinite. So this is a peculiar diversion that he has introduced here to make us feel how difficult it is for us to contact Brahman in any way whatsoever with our finite faculties. No contact with Brahman is possible ordinarily. Idam guna kriya jati dravya sambandha vastu samam tena swarupasya sarvamita nidishatam. This problem that we raised just now of vikalpatva or nirvikalpatva, that is finitude or infinitude as associated with Brahman, may also be considered as futile arguments in the case of anything whatsoever, such as quality, action, species, genus, objectivity, relation, and anything whatsoever. Guna is quality, kriya is action, jati is species, dravya is object, sambandha is relation, vastu is anything whatsoever. So in any one of these categories that we find in this world, the same difficulty will arise if you start envisaging these things either as finite or infinite. Nothing finally can be looked upon as either finite or infinite. So which is the, what is the position of the things now? A thing that is neither finite nor infinite is inconceivable. Such is the nature of this world. It is a relative world of impossibility of conceiving in any manner whatsoever. Anything that is relative cannot be conceived. The modern science of relativity also takes us to the same conclusion, that it is not as it appears to us. It is unthinkable, peculiar mystery. That is why it is called Maya, a jugglery like thing that is appearing before us. You will try to probe into it, you will find it is not there at all, as the night vanishes when sun rises, or the darkness vanishes when flash of torch is thrown on it. It is because your knowledge is not operating, that whole thing looks very solid, so three-dimensional, so real. Through the flash of light of your understanding, you will find it vanishes. It cannot be conceived at all as either existent in this manner or existent in that manner. Neither finite nor infinite. Which means to say it is not there at all. Such is this world. Vikalpatadavabhyam asamspratatmavastani vikalpatatvalakshetva sambandhadhyastvakalpidaha. In this case, where it is a question of ascertaining the nature of a reality which is uncontaminated either with the concept of finitude or infinitude, all these categories that we have been discussing are only foisted upon it. We say so many things about God. He does this, he does that, he did this, he is like this, he is like that. None of these things, statements that we make, can apply to him. Neither he did this nor did that. He is neither looking like this nor looking like that. All our intellectual categories are foisted upon God. All kalpita, vikalpita, tvalakshetva sambandhyad dastu kalpita, the category of finitude and the category of infinitude, the category of relation of one thing with the other, are all imagined by the conditioning factors of the mind. Brahman is above all that you can imagine in your mind. Now, this kind of study that we have made is called Shravana. We have heard a lot about the nature of the world, nature of the individual, nature of Brahman, Ishvara, Jagat and Jiva. We have studied in some measure what is the nature of these great principles, God, world and individual. Ittham vakyai tadartham sandhanam sravanam bhavi. This kind of thing that we have studied now and what we have heard is equal to hearing. We have studied by actual hearing. But mere hearing is not sufficient. When you return home to your room, you must ponder over this deeply. The ideas that have been made to enter into your mind through the medium of your hearing should enter your heart. They become objects of deep investigation, self-investigation. The mind withdraws into itself all the ideas that it has collected by hearing and deeply bestows its considerations. That is called manana. Yuktya sambhavitattva tu sandhanam mananam tutadu. Shravana is hearing, learning, studying. Manana is deep thinking. And if you merely hear and go away and again hear tomorrow, it will be what they call a Eustachian philosophy, they call it numerically. Eustachian tubical, it goes with the ears. You pass it through the and go to the other side. So you hear through this ear and leave it through the other ear. Swami Shivanji Maharaj used to say, these are Eustachian philosophers. They hear, understand nothing. It does not go inside. It has to go inside. Unless you bestow deep thought on what you have heard, that knowledge which you have gained by hearing will not be part of your nature. You will be sitting independently as you were earlier, and knowledge will be outside in space, wanting to sit on the top of the tree. So it has to be brought into the depths of your understanding by deep reflection. That process is called manana. Even that is not sufficient, you have to become that knowledge yourself. ताभ्याम निर्विचिकित्यर्थे चेतसः स्थापितः सति एकता नद्यमेतद्धि निध्यासनमुच्यते. The deep association of yourself with this knowledge is निध्यासन. Firstly, you hear and study. Secondly, you bestow deep thought and investigate into the substance and essentiality of what you have heard and studied, and make it a part and parcel of your daily thought and understanding. But when this process goes on continuously day in and day out, it becomes the very spirit of your nature. You do not merely know, you become actually the existence of it. Knowledge is not merely a property that you have gained by hearing or studying. It is not a quality of your intellect as an academic qualification. It is your very substance. Knowledge is being. Chit is sat. So when knowledge that you have gained by Shravana and Manana becomes your very substance itself, you move like God Himself in the world. That is Jivanmukti Lakshana. That condition is Nididhyasana Tattva. Ekatana is continuous flow of knowledge. Without break, it becomes the essence of your person. This is called Nididhyasana. Deep meditation, which is Nididhyasana, is in the beginning involved in three processes. The meditating consciousness, the object on which meditation is carried on, and the process of meditation. Three things are involved. They are called Triputi. There is someone who is meditating, there is something on which meditation is being carried on, and some process of knowledge is linking the subject with the object, connecting the meditator with the object meditated upon. So when you meditate in the beginning, you will have a consciousness of three things. You will feel that you are there contemplating, meditating. You will feel that there is something on which you are concentrating. And you will also know there is a relation between you. When by deep concentration, going further deeper, the consciousness of your being there and the consciousness of a process going on there also are dropped, the consciousness of yours merges into the object and you become the very object yourself, the very artha, the very target, the very ideal, the very aim become you. You are not contemplating something, you have become that. That becoming, the identity of your consciousness with the very object which you are concentrating upon, losing the consciousness of your individuality and the process of concentration, the identity of the subject with the object, the merger of the consciousness perceiving with the object concentrated upon is called samadhi. Hari Om Tat Sat.